It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Welcome, ladies, and whatever few gentlemen are out there, to episode 53 of Taylor Talk. This is Adam.
Oh, is that me? Because Belle's not here.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Why don't you just say your name, Maya, and then we can keep going.
Okay. Maya.
Diane.
And Haley.
How's everyone doing this afternoon?
Fantastic.
Pretty good.
All right, cool. Let's start off. We got a couple announcements. We have Adam turns 25. Hey, who put that in there?
You're not supposed to read that. That was the thing that I was going to say. You're taking my line.
Diane, did you sneak that in there on me?
Yes. You know why? Because you're going to turn 25 this Thursday, March 7th.
Uh-uh. No, woo! I'm not.
How does that make you feel?
Old.
Yeah.
I feel as old as Haley.
What?
Oh, snap. I am 25. I got you.
Yeah, I'm older than you. Shush.
So is Belle. Belle's older than all of us, so it's okay.
We love you, Belle.
Well, if you would like to congratulate Adam for being old, a.k.a. wish him a happy birthday, you can do so on Twitter at Adam Bromberg.
Ah, thanks, guys. You're sweet.
I try.
You do well.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about what's been going on in the Swift community lately. I came across an article recently, and I wanted everyone's opinions on it, saying that, dun-dun-dun, Ed Sheeran was in Taylor's hotel room till 4 a.m.
Oh, my God.
And not only that, Ed Sheeran was seen leaving, looking very happy and quote-unquote pleased with himself.
They must be dating, you know?
Like,
I'm kidding. That was sarcasm.
Like, they're friends. Like, why can't I... What was it? On Friday night, I hung out with my friends in their room until 4:30. In the morning.
Yes, but were they male?
Maya, you must be dating.
Two of them were male, yes.
You're dating both of them.
I'm dating both of them and the girl that was there.
You're two-timing them.
You're dating all three. You, like, are a player, Maya.
It's not that weird to hang out with your friend late at night. They were probably just, like, writing or something.
Yeah, they were probably, like, eating room service and talking. Yeah.
You know, the gossip rags say Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift are dating. I say... either we're about to get a spectacular performance on tour, or a brand new song, or both.
Ooh. Yeah, they could be, like, talking about all the tour stuff, getting it all together.
Or they're just hanging out, because they're friends, and friends do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, that if Ed Sheeran and Taylor were dating, Ed Sheeran wouldn't have left her hotel room at 4 a.m. He just wouldn't have left.
Right, he probably would have...
scandalous! Stayed.
And, like, well, been
I'm
seen leaving in the
out.
Morning.
Some people do that. Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to get everyone's opinions on that, but if you guys don't mind, we can continue with the episode. Since Haley hasn't been here, we're going to put her on the spot, but actually, we're going to put you on the spot twice in a row.
Okay.
Let's start off with this. So, Haley.
Yes, Adam.
What was the doctor's diagnosis after the carrot got in a car crash?
What?
He's going to be a vegetable.
Oh my goodness, Adam.
I am going to thank Zoe for texting that to us. Thanks, Zoe.
Zoe, that was awesome.
Now let's put you on the spot again, Haley. Give us the calendar, please.
All right. On March 9th, it changed from March 2nd, Taylor Swift's performance for Let's Dance for Comic Relief airs on the BBC One. So that's pretty cool. And March 13th, the Red Tour begins. Woo! Yay! I'm excited because I'm counting down, and I have now 9 days till I pick up Belle from the airport.
Wow!
And we're going to drive to Omaha. I'm excited.
You're driving from where?
Denver.
No way.
How long will that take you?
About 8.5 hours with stops.
Oh my goodness. You and Belle are going to be best friends by the end of this.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Road trip.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of vitamin water.
Sounds like a good time.
April 7th is the ACMs, and voting for Entertainer of the Year begins on March 25th.
Thanks for that, Haley. Maya, what has been going on in the news lately?
Well, first of all, some fun news for those of you who live in the UK. Taylor is going to be featured in InStyle UK, which is going to hit newsstands this week on March 6th. So make sure you go out and get that. Then a fun thing, I guess 2 days ago, there was the CRS conference in Nashville, which is the country radio seminar. And Florida Georgia Line was doing a concert for the end of that. And Taylor showed up and sang Cruise with them. And it was really cool. And there's videos. And you can find them in the episode guide.
Wow. Yeah. What did you guys think of that performance?
I thought she looked cute.
I agree with that.
But I don't think it was her best vocal.
Yeah. Ever.
I didn't watch it yet.
Well, it is like a male song, you know, written by males, sung by males. So, you know, you got to give her a little credit for trying.
I'm not saying it's about the subject matter. I'm saying it was about the way that she sounded.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about as well.
It's just objectively not the best singing that she's ever done in her life. But she looked like she was having fun and everyone there was very excited and she looked cute. So.
Well, that's because most of us pay about, like, $10,000 a seat for Taylor Swift tickets, and those people got to see her for much, much cheaper.
Okay, and finally, Taylor, along with a lot of other huge country stars, is going to be performing at ATM Presents Tim McGraw's Superstar Summer Night, which is going to be taped April 8th at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, and then they're going to be showing it on CBS at some later date. And it is a 2-hour concert to benefit ACM Lifting Lives and to kick off Tim McGraw's 2013 tour. So,
woo!
Yeah, I think there's tickets for that available if you live near there and want to go. Otherwise, you can watch it on TV with the rest of us.
Do you know what? Speaking of Tim McGraw's tour, I'm going to start stalking dates that he has a performance and Taylor does not. And get tickets to his show, because I'm willing to bet there's a surprise performance of Highway Don't Care somewhere in that tour.
Like, she'd only do it once, though, so you would be gambling pretty big.
That would be expensive.
That's true, it would be quite a gamble. But it might pay off.
And I'm pretty sure that Tim McGraw would come on the Red Tour and sing that with Taylor, too.
Right.
I mean, it could be either one.
Or both.
What if she sings Tim McGraw at this taping? How cute would that be?
I hope she does that. That would be really cute.
Taylor, if you're listening, sing Tim McGraw at
Tim McGraw's thing. She hasn't performed that song in, like, years, I don't think.
Yeah, the last time I heard her perform it was on the Fearless Tour.
Yeah.
Unique idea, Maya. Let's tell Taylor to do it.
Let's.
Everybody start tweeting. Tweet away.
Everyone. Because we're all best friends with her, so let's tell her.
Let's just call her up, be like, yo, what up, T-Swizzle?
Yeah, totally.
All right, thanks for the calendar and news, ladies. Let's kick it off with our first mini-segment. You know your Swiftie when, if Swifties ruled the world.
The first one comes from Andrea_Swift7 on Twitter. And they say, you know you're a Swiftie when you think at Adam Bromberg jokes are funny.
Aww.
That is a hardcore fan.
That made...
Wow.
Yeah.
My jokes are funny.
Just keep saying. Crickets. That.
Crickets.
All right, the next one comes from AshleySwift13. You know you're a Swiftie when you're dying laughing over Grant Michelson's sarcastic tweets and you can't explain to anyone around you why it's funny.
It's a Swiftie thing. Either you get Grant's tweets or you don't.
Most of the time people don't. It's hilarious.
Our next one is from All2Taylor13 on Twitter, and they said, you know you're a Swiftie when you start dancing and getting stared at when a Taylor song plays in public.
Guilty.
Yeah, I've done that.
All right. The next one is from @SwiftieForLife1 on Twitter, who says, you know you're a Swiftie when you see a quote from Taylor and read it in her voice. I don't have a Taylor voice.
Yeah, you do. It's a really high one.
Oh, hey guys, this is Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that did not do... Nope.
Don't judge me, Haley. Don't judge me, alright?
Judging. Hardcore judging.
Uh-huh.
The next one comes from Audra via email, and they say, you know you're a Swiftie when you get braces in red because of Taylor.
Nice!
That is dedication.
I don't have braces anymore, though.
Me either.
I got mine off like 15 years ago.
Whew, you are old.
The next one comes from Sophia_Kutch. You know you're a Swiftie when someone says they have a surprise for you and you automatically think it's Taylor Swift.
Like That's the actual cute. Taylor Swift? Like the person?
I think more Taylor Swift related.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, I never think that anyone's surprise for me is, like, Taylor Swift the person.
I hope it's Taylor Lautner the person. I would not protest
that would
that
also
surprise.
Be fun.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be acceptable.
I need some male hosts. I don't need to hear this about Lautner and his ripping abs.
That's what you said. Awesome I didn't abs. Say that.
I know.
You said nothing about his abs. You brought that up.
But if you want to talk about it, we can.
Let's avoid that subject area, please. Please.
You brought it up, Adam. Just saying.
Okay, our next one is from MessOfADreamer13 on Twitter. And she said, you know you're a Swiftie when you have a Swiftie tattoo. Like,
that's so cool.
I've seen this. She has a tattoo that says Swiftie in, like, the font from the cover of Taylor's album.
Oh, the Satisfaction font?
Mm-hmm. It's really cute.
That's really cute.
That's sweet.
That is dedication.
That's like branding yourself for life.
Yeah, I have a friend who has Speak Now on her left rib and Fearless on her right rib, so it's like on both sides she's got Taylor. Pretty cool.
Wow. All right, and then the last one was emailed in by Rex, who says, you know you're Swiftie when you're watching Taylor's Speak Now concert in DVD, and you're screaming and crying and jumping, and you're wondering how a real Taylor concert would feel like.
No.
Kind of like that, but 10 times better.
Yeah. Kind of like that, with a little bit less personal space.
Yeah.
And a lot louder volume.
Yep. And by the end of the night, you have no voice.
And you have no ears, either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're laughing and jumping and screaming and crying.
So, thanks for sending those in, everybody. Remember, you can all submit them, too. There's a variety of ways we'll go over at the end of the episode, or just visit the website, taylortalk.org, and we have all the ways there. But for now, we're going to move on to our main discussion in the episode. We had a song request by Mia from Australia, who left us a voicemail. So let's hear from Mia.
Hi, guys. My name is Mia. I'm also on Twitter, SafeAndFoundXX. I just want to say that the show is awesome, and I love it so much, and hope you guys discuss the song The Last Time, because I think it's a really underrated song, and no one really talks about it, and I think it's a really cool song. I think Gary Lightbody is really good in it, and I think they're a really good duo. So I hope you discuss it soon, because I really want to hear it, and I want to hear what your thoughts are, because I don't really know your thoughts on it. So, bye!
Alright, well, Mia, I think you're right that it is underrated and not talked about very much, but I'm about to get a lot of hate from this. I think the reason is because it's boring.
You just broke my heart in a blink of an eye.
Oh!
Would anyone like to counter my argument?
I love this song.
I think boring is a little bit like...
Yeah, it's a little bit harsh.
A little harsh.
That was my impression. Like, when I listened to it, I just thought it was boring. I mean, not to mention the first time I ever listened to it, my first thought was, this isn't Taylor Swift featuring Gary Lightbody. This is Gary Lightbody featuring Taylor Swift.
I disagree. I think it's a duet. It's like an equal parts duet. It's not like... Like, I wish that the duet with Ed Sheeran was a lot more like this, where there were sort of equal parts of both of them singing, as opposed to Taylor singing most of it and Ed singing, like, 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like Gary drowns out Taylor's voice during the duets. Like, I hear him a lot more than I hear her.
I mean, he's sort of singing the melody, but, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a really interesting song, and I think the collaboration brought out a whole different side of Taylor in writing and in the way she was singing. And, like, I think that we wouldn't have gotten to hear that without him. It's, like, a much more mature, sort of grown-up version of her that he helped to bring out.
I don't know how to respond to you right now, Maya.
That's because I'm right.
I don't think you're right. Maybe you're right about it bringing out a mature side to her, but that doesn't stop the song from being boring. and not very fun to listen to, and very much like, is this song over yet?
Okay, I think this song is nice to listen to, like, for the first verses and the chorus, but the end, it just kind of repeats and repeats, and it keeps going. And, I mean, it sounds pretty, but they're saying the same thing over and over again, and you're wondering when the last time is that they're going to say this is the last time, because it keeps going. But other than that, I don't think it's boring, just the ending.
Okay, fair enough. So let's talk a little bit about what the song is about. As you guys know, Taylor did her Stories Behind the Songs video when the album first came out, and this is what she had to say about it. She said she wrote it about something she had been going through, and paints a picture in your head, says there's a girl standing there with tears in her eyes wondering how she could turn him away because she loves him so much, but she can't get hurt again. It's both of these people swearing that it'll be the last time. She's swearing this is the last time she'll get hurt again, and he's swearing this is the last time he's going to leave and hurt her. So, what do you guys think?
I mean, it's something every girl kind of goes through, at least, you know, a little bit of high school kind of drama coming out. The whole breakup, get back together, breakup, get back together.
I don't know. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think that this is a very particular kind of relationship. I mean, obviously, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together is about the same relationship, but this isn't, like, that sugared up version of it. This is, like, a slightly messed up, very unhealthy thing where it's two people who are, like, hurting each other over and over and over again. And I don't think that's something that you experience in high school unless you're, like, very mature for your age.
I think you're right. It describes a very toxic relationship, and the way I see it, based on Taylor's description, is that the male actually has a very dominant role in the relationship.
Ooh.
Like,
ooh,
it's,
Adam.
What?
Hold on. Maybe that's why that Gary Lightbody sings in this song more than Taylor, because it represents the nature of that.
That is a good
relationship.
Point.
Because he is the one that's being forceful and hurting her, you know, and all that stuff, and she's the one that's kind of quieter and drawn back, and she's like, okay, I forgive you, and she does that over and over again.
She said all the songs are supposed to sound like how she felt, and if she felt dominated by the other person, that would make sense.
Well, that's exactly how I see it. It seems to me like in this relationship, the ball is in the male's court, that he has control, and he's swearing, this is the last time I'm going to leave you, last time I'm going to hurt you. Yet, really, at the end of the day, it is, in fact, up to him. Either he doesn't hurt her anymore, or he does. Everything is up to the male.
Well, she's also saying, this is the last time I'm going to get hurt. Like, she could leave.
She could, but I don't see that happening.
No,
I don't see that happening,
not.
Because
that's the whole point.
She says, yeah, she says that how could she turn him away because she loves him so much. So maybe she's considered it.
It's both, like, it's both of them are making a choice. It's not just him.
But does the female character really have a choice?
Of course she does.
Yeah, she has a choice.
You always have
a
choice.
In theory, yes, but I don't think she really does. I think there is really only one option in her head, and that's to stay with him because she loves him so much.
I mean, maybe in this moment, but it's like you always have a choice. Like, you're never that dependent on someone that you can't get yourself out. I think she doesn't want to. Like, it's bad, but she still isn't at the place where she feels like she needs to leave.
Okay. Perhaps you're right, Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps I'm right.
No. Nope.
You never know.
No. Nope.
We don't know. Only Taylor knows. Do you guys think any of the lyrics capture the essence of the whole song? I mean, I think there's the obvious. This is the last time. That's the title.
In the beginning of the second verse, this kind of sums it up pretty well. You find yourself at my door just like all those times before. You wear your best apology, but I was there to watch you leave. It's like he knows that he's hurting her, and she knows that she's being hurt, and she knows that they're both, like, perpetuating the cycle, but they both
right.
just keep doing it.
They both keep doing it anyway. I think something interesting that speaks to my point from earlier is the lyrics when it says, and you open your eyes into mine and everything feels better. I think that is why she doesn't leave him, even though she knows it's a toxic relationship, even though she knows that he keeps hurting her and swears it's the last time. It's that moment that keeps you attached to that person.
Right, I mean, even if you're in a bad relationship, there can be things that are good about it. Like, it's almost never that a relationship is all bad. And, like, that's the hard part.
Sure. So, Haley and Diane, do you have any lyrics you think that capture anything important?
It's a little bit further along in the second verse. It says, "And all the times I let you in just for you to go again." And then she says, "Disappear when you come back." And when I first heard this song, I was a little bit confused about that line. Why the word disappear? Like, doesn't that imply, like, something is gone? And I feel like what that means is, like, this girl feels herself being lost when she's around this guy. Like, she doesn't know who she is anymore because she's completely in love with him. And she, I don't know, like, that lyric kind of, like, intrigues me a little bit. So I don't know if you guys have a take on it, but...
It's kind of like the I Knew You Were Troubled voiceover, like right at the very end of the music video when she says, "I think you have to lose who you are to something like you have to lose who you are before you know who you are," or something like that. I mean, and she just talks about how it's like a relationship where she changed herself so much for this person that she like didn't recognize herself anymore.
All right, so analyzing the music a little bit, I know the music is always supposed to fit the theme of the song and stuff, but to me, when I say that this song is boring to me, it's a result of the music, because the lyrics are just like any other Taylor song. So, I don't know. Does anyone have a different opinion from mine on the lyrics?
I mean,
the music?
Well, there are strings in this song, and I think they're pretty. I don't know what you mean by, like, the music is boring. Like, do you think it's too repetitive? Like, it's the same, like, couple notes over and over again, and that's why you're bored by it?
I don't know. It's just kind of slow and like, you know, it's...
I mean, when it hits the chorus, it's a pretty big crescendo and there's a lot of instruments and...
Yeah, it's pretty intense there.
I don't know. I don't think it's boring at all. It's a lot of really interesting production.
The chorus is the only part of it that I do like a little bit, though. But I think the verses are so boring. They're so slow and just like,
They're emotional.
I think the problem is that you can't appreciate this song unless you've been in this situation.
Exactly.
That's what I think. Mm-hmm. I think that the verses are the relatable part for me. So, like, that, yeah, that's the part that I appreciate the most because I understand those lyrics. And I think that the melody sort of fits with that. But I think if you don't have the understanding of that experience, then it makes sense that you wouldn't really get it.
Okay. So, who do we think this relationship involved?
I think it's the same person as almost all
the
other ones.
We're never ever getting back together?
I think you're right, because I think that relationship seems to, I guess it seems to create the most emotionally charged songs, because I think that was the most emotionally charged relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything else seems to have been a fling, but that one seems to only be the one that was like this deep love that... You know, or before the album even came out, when Taylor said it was about an earth-shattering heartbreak. And I think that's the only relationship that has caused this thus far.
I mean, I would say the breakup with Joe Jonas was on a similar level.
Perhaps you could be right,
however... the songs about him spanned a few albums.
Yeah. Fearless and Speak Now.
Yeah.
Right, but I don't think Taylor was emotionally mature enough to write these type of songs about that relationship back then.
No, but they like she wrote the type of songs as close to this as she could when she was 17 because it was her, you know, first big, nasty heartbreak.
Mm-hmm. Right, but that also could be first love, not deep love.
Who says first love can't be deep love, though?
It could be. Could be. But not necessarily. So, speaking about the secret message on the song, the secret message for this song is L.A. on your break. For me, I don't know what you guys think, but, like, my opinion on that matter is that this is about a very, very specific event in her relationship with this individual. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's at some specific break that they had where he visited her in L.A.,
right, but I think since it's so specific and so personal, we're not going to get a lot of hints from it, because we really, like, I don't know when this person had a break and when they hung out in L.A., like, I don't feel like we have the facts to make
right.
an accurate claim on who it's about, based on the secret message.
Yeah, I don't know if the secret message really reveals that much to us as fans. I think the secret message is more directed at whoever the song is about, Taylor saying, hey, this is about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting way to communicate, in my opinion, because do you really think any of her ex-boyfriends are analyzing her album that deeply.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
Analyzing, but like if you were dating someone and like, can you know? I mean, probably just hearing the song and the details of it, you'd probably get it if it's about you.
And by now, I think, you know, she's made it clear to people that she does have these little messages in her album. So if anyone did date her, they would know that.
Yeah, and actually, they probably would look at her album when it first came out and be like, I wonder which one of these songs is about me. And, like, listen to it and try to figure it out. I mean, that's what I would do in, like, some strange, twisted way.
Except that sometimes it's just better not knowing. Being like, okay, I don't want to know.
I mean, like, in a way, you kind of, it's, everyone has that kind of, I want to hear what they wrote, they sung about, even.
But yeah, you want to know what they said, even if it's not flattering.
Perhaps, that could be true. So, do you guys think this song will be on tour, Red Tour?
Well, Gary Lightbody is English, right?
Since it's a duet, like, I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
If Gary shows up for one of the dates, then they might do it.
That'll probably be the only time. I'm sure he'll show up at one of the shows and they'll do it, and that'll be, like, a special performance and all that. But I don't think it'll be in the regular set list.
Right. I feel like since Gary Lightbody is from England, if Taylor does a show in London, then they might do a duet together.
I mean, or if Snow Patrol is on tour here.
That's possible as well. I just figured I'd throw out the question to you guys, because this is one of the last episodes we can question whether or not something will be on the Red Tour.
It is, isn't it?
I know, we won't be able to question much longer. We'll be able to, it's going to transition on future songs to being like, what did you guys think of the performance on Red Tour of this song? So,
I feel like I've come to, like, a great change in my life. Now we can't speculate anymore. Now soon we're going to know.
Yes, Diane, another turning point, another fork stuck in the road.
Ugh.
So, overall, I want to get opinions on a scale of 1 to 13. Let's start with Haley, since you haven't been around here for a while.
I'll give it, on a scale of 1 to 13, okay, probably a 10, mostly because I've been through this and I relate to it.
Okay.
But it's not one of my favorites.
Okay, fair answer. Maya?
I think I'd go with a 10 also.
10? Same kind of reason?
Yeah, I find it very relatable to my life. I mean, it's not necessarily a song that I would, like, listen to a whole lot, but I appreciate it because it's something that I also went through, so I can appreciate the lyrics.
I like that, Maya. That's a fair assessment. Diane?
I would give it an 11. Same reason as you guys, and also just because I love Snow Patrol.
Okay, my turn. I'm going to give it, like, a 0. No, I'm kidding. I can't give a Taylor song a 0 in all good conscience.
We're going to kick you off the show.
It's my show.
We're going to form a mutiny.
There's more of us than you.
We're going to kick off the captain.
No, honestly, I am, in all fairness, going to give it a lower score because I really don't like this song. But I do like, I like the lyrics. I think the message is powerful. So I'd give it in the range of, like, a 5.
All right.
It's not a song that pleases me that much. So that's my opinion. Don't send hate mail, or do send hate mail and you'll get hate mail back from me and it'll be a fun hate mail game.
You're weird, Adam.
You're really weird. What's that from? Oh, Willy Wonka.
You're weird.
Or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Remember the new one with Johnny Depp? He's like, you're really weird. OJD. So, jumping all over the place, because we already talked a little bit about what's going on in the community, but we didn't mention everything going on in the community. And, of course, I love getting opinions from my co-hosts, because I have my own opinions, you guys have yours, and it's fun to debate you guys on it. We can start, I guess, with, you know the Z100 contest that's going on?
I do, yeah. In fact.
So, Z100 has a contest going on for a meet and greet with Taylor. And the way you win is you have your own unique link that people have to click on. The person, I believe, with the most links is how they're choosing it. Or clicks, I mean.
Yep.
Yeah, so the person with the most clicks is the winner, and they get to meet Taylor at, like, one of the Newark shows, I think. Something like that. Now, everybody on Twitter has been going crazy. Click my link, click my link, click my link. And it's borderline spammy, but I would do the same thing if I was entered in the contest. What I disagree with, however, are cheaters. Have you guys seen the cheaters?
Who Who's cheating?
By cheating, I guess I should specify what I mean by cheating, but some of the examples of what I've seen, first, people are disguising their link, because the regular link is, you know, z100.com/whatever makes it unique to them, right?
People are, like, putting captions on it, like, oh my god, I can't believe Taylor did that, and then they post the link.
Yes! Like, somebody I saw the other day did one saying that there was a new Taylor Swift slash Ed Sheeran duet that leaked, and they disguised the link by creating a bit.ly link, which, you know, is bit.ly. It's just a shortened link.
Uh-huh.
So you have no idea what it is, what you're clicking on. And they're like, new Taylor Swift Ed Sheeran duet link. Or I saw one, new pictures from the 22 music video. And things like that. And that is low. Like, that is getting people to click that otherwise would not be voting for you.
Yeah, that's a little bit deceitful.
It is, right?
I mean, kind of. I don't know. But, like, you do what you gotta do, I guess.
Like, so, do you approve of that behavior, Maya?
I don't necessarily approve of it, but, like, I understand it. Like, they want to win. They're doing what they have to do. And, I mean, and it gets people to click on it, so...
I guess. I just wonder if there's anything in the contest rules that, like, forbids that, like, disguising it like that.
Oh, I'm sure there's not.
I don't think there's a way to even find out that those people did that, because they would have to go back and, like, read their whole feed on Twitter.
That's true.
So it would just be too hard to catch anyway.
I just think it's dishonest, it's deceitful, and it's scummy, because there are some big fans out there that would love to win and are trying to win the fairway.
I mean, I admire everyone who's entered the contest.
Me too.
But, like, I think some of them don't know that, like, there's an account that has been tweeting this link since the beginning that has 150,000 followers. And all of these people are very brave for trying, but unfortunately, I don't think that they have much of a chance.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of work for a very small chance of winning.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's people who've already sort of gotten a lot of other people on their side, too, so they have tons of people tweeting for them. So if you're just one person trying to win it, then, like, haven't got much of a chance there either.
Yeah, in that case, I just hope that by some miracle, somebody very deserving gets it.
We should have entered. You get, what, 4 meet and greets, right?
I'm not sure.
I think it's 4, so then me, Maya, and Haley and Belle could have gone.
No.
Man, sorry, why didn't we do this whole planning ahead of time?
I know we suck. Next time.
If you did that, the very next episode, everybody out there would be listening to a whole new panel of hosts.
Aww.
No, it would just be the Adam show.
Okay, I might keep Haley around because she's with me. She hasn't met Taylor yet, so Haley deserves it.
Diana's barely met Taylor. She deserves to meet her again.
Yeah.
Thank you. I talked to her for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah. She deserves to meet her again.
But, Adam, what if we all met Taylor and told her about the show? Then you'd be okay with it.
Okay. You just earned redemption.
Thank you. I tried.
You've earned your redemption. Anybody who tells Taylor Swift about Taylor Talk is, like, my favorite person in the world, and I would love you so much. And if somebody out there listening right now wins this contest and meets Taylor and tells her about Taylor Talk, you will be my newest host. I don't care. You can come on with us. It'd be awesome. And you'll get a big hug from me. A personalized one. I can do that.
How do you personalize a hug?
You hug in the style that the person receiving the hug enjoys. It could be one, maybe they enjoy a hug where you go with both your arms over the top of their shoulders. Maybe they like under their shoulders. Maybe they like that weird cross hug where one arm's on top and one underneath. You never know. You can personalize a hug.
Maybe like side hugs. Those are lame. I hate side hugs.
Oh, the one arm side hug?
Yeah, I don't like those. Those
are weird.
You might as well just not hug me.
All right. Well, that's that. I just wanted all your opinions on that Z100 contest. The other thing I wanted to talk about with you guys, though, is last week, we talked about the GOAT video, right? Was that last week?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
GOAT video. Funny. So that seems to have started a massive trend where people are inserting anything they can into the scream part of I Knew You Were Trouble music video, the part. And I found a top 10 of them. Did you guys happen to catch that? The top 10 remixes?
It's kind of interesting.
I personally thought it was hilarious when they inserted a screaming bunny instead of the goat. I thought that was funnier than the goat.
I didn't know bunnies could scream.
Me either.
I didn't know goats could scream.
Well, goats baa and they make noise, but do rabbits make noise?
Apparently they do.
I don't know. I just thought the bunny was really funny. Like, did you guys have a favorite out of all the remixes?
I liked the paper towel thing in the back.
Paper towel dispenser?
Yeah.
I thought that was weird.
I just thought it was so creative that someone would think of that. Like, oh, a paper towel dispenser makes the same noise.
Well, it does. Maya, you have a favorite?
I don't know. I still like the original goat. I think it's great. It cracks me up every single time.
You're boring. You know which one took me back to my childhood? Was Home Alone. They inserted Macaulay Culkin doing his scream like, ah! And then also one of the bad guys when he got a big tarantula on his face screaming. That one was really funny too. I don't know. I just thought we'd mention those. We'll put up those videos, of course, in the episode guide on TaylorTalk.org. That way you guys can all view them, because I'm sure there must be some people that haven't seen them all yet.
Me.
Like Haley. Hey, Haley, why don't you go to the episode guide and check them out?
I so will, Adam.
Excellent. Thanks, Haley. Next, and our final segment on the show, Tears, is what are Swifties listening to? This week, it was submitted by @TaySwiftyUK on Twitter, who said, we should all listen to Heart Attack by Demi Lovato.
I like this song.
It's a good song. Fun.
It's like just a very well done pop song. I'm a fan.
Okay. Does anyone else have an opinion? I haven't heard it yet, personally.
I've heard a little bit of it. I like it. It's not my favorite song ever. But she did it good. She did good.
Fair enough. Everybody go listen to that, yeah? Go listen. Go check it out. Form your opinions on it. Don't listen to ours. Listen to yours. Ha ha.
Wait, what?
I don't know. I'm in a giddy weird mood right now. Is that a
you
problem?
Are.
What?
Said you are in a weird mood.
I am. It's a Sunday afternoon and I'm, I don't know, just in a weird mood. But, you know, it happens from time to time. So thank you @TaySwiftyUK for submitting that. Remember, you guys can all submit to the mini segments in various ways. You can email us, TaylorTalk@TaylorSwift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us to TaylorTalk13. Or you could leave us a voicemail or text message to area code 240-31-SWIFT or a voicemail on TaylorTalk.org directly. And of course, if you love us, go leave us a review on iTunes. Positive reviews only. Don't leave us negative reviews. That hurts our feelings. So positive reviews. Tell us you love us. It helps other Swiftie fans find us. And we appreciate it a whole lot. So, thank you. For episode 53, this has been Adam,
Maya,
Diane,
and Haley.
Saying have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Bye. Virtual hand hearts.
Bye-bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.